This is Financial Standard, the definitive source of news, thought leadership and analysis for Australian wealth management professionals. Financial Standard, take the lead.
Hi, welcome to the Financial Standard podcast. My name is Matthew Y, and I'm a journalist at Financial Standard. As we enter a day and age where technology and innovation are at the forefront, many companies aim to leverage those capabilities to enhance efficiency and potentially cut costs. It has also changed the way people have operated, transcending to even making investment decisions with AI. Although many remain skeptical with AI, the guests today we are speaking with have actually embraced the new wave and implemented the component into their operations. Let me welcome Zee Chen, research lead at Acadian Asset Management, to see how AI has changed the investment process at his company. Thanks for being with us today, Zee.
Thanks, Matthew. Thanks for having me on.
Can you walk us through how does a company leverage AI in identifying investment opportunities?
You can think of AI as a supercharged analyst that never sleeps and sees everything, right? So firstly, your AI can scan through massive data sets to find hidden patterns. So for example, we might discover that when a stock has falling short interest, rising volume, and recent price strength, it signals a short squeeze in the making. AI can spot that pattern unfolding amongst the noise of, you know, tens of thousands of stocks and hundreds of millions of trades. Secondly, AI can help us forecast fundamentals like future earnings. Analysts often rely on intuition and historical experience, but AI learns from data. So it finds, for example, where analysts have consistently overestimated or underestimated performance, and it helps us predict surprises before they happen. And then thirdly, AI has become very good at processing unstructured data like news articles or earnings call transcripts. So for example, our AI can pick up on language that CEOs use. If they say, you know, we expect revenue to grow 10% this quarter versus we hope for positive momentum, that specificity matters. The model doesn't just understand what's being said, it's also how it's said, right? So the tone, the confidence, the clarity, that all feeds into the signal. So, you know, we use AI across our coverage of 43,000 stocks, but where AI has been especially useful is in under-researched stocks. So that's where, you know, human coverage is thin. AI fills in the gaps and, you know, basically gives you your own proprietary research. So, you know, I guess a good way to think about it is that AI helps uncover, you know, investment opportunities by reading the data a great analyst would, but, you know, with scale, with speed, and with consistency.
Awesome. Yeah, those are some really great features. I believe, you know, what people would be more interested about is how is it working out so far? Like, has it shown a massive improvement since the implementation?
Yeah, so the key thing is that, you know, AI hasn't been an on-off switch for us. It's more like, you know, a dimmer that we've been turning on over the last 15 years. So if you look at our, you know, first models, they were basically like the old brick phones. They were useful, but kind of narrow. Today's models are much more like, you know, current smartphones. So they're, you know, they're faster, they're smarter, and they're connected to richer data. But the key thing is that it hasn't really been, you know, one giant leap. We've progressively added more data sources like, you know, analyst reports, patent filings, workforce composition, and then we've implemented the AI techniques to extract the insights from those data. And so through incremental changes, today's models are just much better at forecasting returns than our early models, right? And so we can see that difference not only in our back tests, but also you can see it in the real-world performance of our strategies.
What is the scale of AI usage when it comes to, you know, Acadian's operation? Like, is it applied across the entire, you know, business?
Yeah, absolutely. So beyond investing, AI is driving a lot of efficiencies across the whole business. So, you know, obviously in investing, AI is kind of core, right? It helps not only with, you know, stock selection, but also portfolio construction and risk management. But more broadly, we're using things like, you know, corporate ChatGPT to do things like surface information from our own knowledge archives and, you know, refine the way that we present information to our clients. And then there's also the coding side of things. So, you know, being a quantitative fund manager, you know, we're essentially also just running a big software company with these very deep technology stacks. And AI tools like GitHub Copilot, for example, has just been transformational in boosting productivity. And what that means for us is that it really allows us to accelerate our research and development cycle.
All these innovation, like, how does it bring into advantage when you competing other companies? Like, would you edge ahead of like those companies that, you know, sort of not leveraging these technologies?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could think of investing like Formula One racing, right? So it's not enough just to be fast. You have to be faster than everyone else. So what does that mean for us? Firstly, you can't afford to just sit on your laurels. You have to keep innovating, right? You can't take, for example, your F1 car from 5 years ago and expect it to win in today's competition because everyone else has basically moved on. Secondly, size matters. So, you know, data is expensive, AI is expensive, and, you know, quantitative research is, they're really expensive, right? And what that means is that there's benefits to scale. You just can't dedicate the same level of resources to research and development when you're, say, you know, a $20 billion fund manager compared to you being a $200 billion fund manager. Thirdly, one of the things that AI has allowed us to do is basically cross boundaries. So what do I mean? In the past, you've basically needed a human analyst to, you know, go out and read broker reports, to map out supply chains, to get, you know, really a really in-depth understanding of a company's management and workforce. But all those things, you know, AI can now do. But again, they can do it at machine speed and machine scale. So I think for us, innovation is really key to maintaining our edge amongst the competition.
I really love that Formula One analogy that you had there. It just shows like how quick, you know, this technology is moving in pace and it's really hard to keep up. But also, you know, speaking of a lot of like, you know, pros about AI, what are some of the risks in relying on AI?
Yeah, that's a great question, Matthew. And it's one that we, you know, think about a lot. So one particular risk with AI is something called overfitting. So that's where, you know, AI finds patterns that, you know, don't actually exist or matter. So here's a classic example. In the 2000s, the number of swimming pool drownings was correlated with the number of Nicolas Cage movies that were released. So, you know, that's obviously a coincidence, but, you know, an AI might latch onto something like that if you're not careful. So to prevent that from happening, you know, we test our AI models on new data that it's never seen before, right? So if an AI can't perform out of sample, then it doesn't make the cut. And then another line of defense that we have is obviously human judgment, right? There are particular nuances with econometric data. And this is where a deep understanding of finance and economics also plays an important role in vetting whether what an AI is telling you is sensible. And so, you know, that's why we have both machine learning experts and Harvard finance professors on our investment team. There are also obvious risks tied to data quality. So if you feed your model biased or inconsistent data, that will be reflected in the output. If you have garbage in, you have garbage out. And this is where sort of scale helps, right? Because you can get around that by, for example, employing a full-time data team who's constantly monitoring the quality of your data for you. Lastly, AI models can also struggle when the economic backdrop shifts rapidly. Like, you know, when you have a geopolitical crisis or the global pandemic, right? And that's because data-driven models, by definition, tend to rely on past data to predict future behavior. So what you need to think about is building safety nets in the way that you construct portfolios. So let me give you an example. Your AI might not be able to predict the outcome of an election. So what you probably don't want to do is, you know, build a portfolio where the outcome hinges on the outcome of the election, right? So in that case, you might build in a safeguard to hedge that risk. You hold some stocks that benefit from, you know, one of those political parties winning, and you hold some other stocks that benefit from the other political party winning. And in that way, you can immunize your portfolio to that particular risk. So AI is powerful, but without safeguards and judgment, it ends up chasing illusions rather than insights.
So, you know, with those risks that you just listed, many in the industry are still learning how, you know, since AI is relatively new, or even like, you know, skeptical about using it. What is your thought about that?
Yeah, I get that. You know, finance is complex and AI is evolving very quickly. So that skepticism is completely valid. You know, finance isn't physics, right? It's messy, it's human, it's full of surprises. AI doesn't make investing easy, but it can make it more informed. So I think, you know, the reality for us is, you know, we've been using AI for 15 years. And so we do kind of have real world proof that it adds value. You know, we've outperformed passive benchmarks over long periods of time and, you know, across most of our strategies. Where AI has really helped is with information overload, right? It can read 2,000 earnings call transcripts a day and then still be sharp for the next 1,000. Now, you know, I don't think I'd be able to find a human analyst who's able to do that. But, you know, what AI also brings is just objectivity to the decisions. Now, markets can often be driven by panic or hype. But, you know, when you have an AI model, it stays grounded in the data. And I'd say that's probably our biggest advantage in the way that we invest.
So, you know, with all these AI leverage in your company, does it have any like impact on your client base? Like, you know, how transparent do you have to be to, you know, disclose those AI usage?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think to some extent, you know, our clients expect us to be using AI. We are a large quantitative fund manager. And in the space that we play in, as I said a little bit earlier, you know, you need to be on the cutting edge of not only in the data sources that you're using, but also the technologies that you're using to extract insights from those data sources. In terms of the transparency, part of it is driven by basically your philosophy as an investment manager, right? So there are some fund managers who tend to be very closed in the way that they disclose information. There are others who are happy to be a lot more open. We tend to lean towards sort of the latter. So, you know, for our clients, we're able to show, you know, what are the drivers of our stock forecasts and how that translates into a particular position that they have within the portfolio. And then within that, you know, which of those signals are driven by AI and why we've decided to leverage a particular AI technology to extract those insights.
So finally, I want to talk about, you know, since AI is sort of, it's still in its infancy, how would it transform the landscape of the industry? Like, let's say, in the next couple of years?
Yeah, it's obviously hard to predict the future, but we can see a couple of trends that are playing out. So firstly, you know, the volume of data continues to explode. We've basically tripled the amount of data that goes into our models in the last 5 years. And a lot of these new data sets are often, you know, these niche fragmented data sets like, you know, clinical trial testing or, you know, patent filings or workforce characteristics, right? What AI has done here is just really lower the cost of extracting insights from these new data sources. Secondly, AI is becoming cheaper, but I think conversely, that may lead to more money being spent using AI. So let me explain, you know, when the per unit cost of AI decreases, we just end up finding more and more useful applications of where, you know, the benefits of AI outweigh those lower costs. And then what that does is it results in the overall total cost going up because we just apply more and more of it. Then thirdly, AI, I think, will be even more deeply embedded throughout the whole investment lifecycle. So, you know, not only in stock selection, but also in portfolio construction, risk control, and client communications. What all of this means is that I think scale is going to become increasingly more important, right? As I said earlier, you know, data risk is expensive, running AI is expensive, employing talented researchers and developers is expensive. But these are essentially fixed costs. So, you know, as your assets under management grow, you can effectively amortize that over a larger base. And then in turn, I think, you know, that allows you to reinvest more heavily in, you know, more data, more research development, more intensive uses of AI.
Absolutely. Those are all the questions I have for you today. Thank you so much for your time.
Great. Thank you, Matthew.
Thanks for listening to this Financial Standard podcast. For more information, visit financialstandard.com.au. Please keep in mind that the information discussed in this podcast is general in nature and does not consider personal circumstances. Reliance should not be placed on any content without further independent financial research and advice.